we also have the province of Gauteng amongst us to come and present to us the third quarter report. Before we start, the MEC of Human Settlement in Gauteng is on his way. The flight he had booked, the 7 o'clock flight he had booked, was cancelled from Joburg to here. So he had to board the 10 past 8 flight. So as soon as he lands, he will then join us. But he is on his way. You will remember, colleagues, that we took a decision that says whenever the department comes to present their performance reports, Gauteng must come, because we were monitoring their progress, because at some point they were not doing that well. So we had said then the best thing is that for them, they must come and present for themselves. Nobody must present on their behalf. So that's why they are here today. The deputy minister is coming and is disturbing my meeting. Can you see? Welcome, deputy minister. The other apology is that the minister has sent a written apology. She won't join us because she is in the cabinet committees. She had expressed a sadness that she's not going to be here, Gauteng, because she would have loved to hear your report herself within a teen upper good. But unfortunately, she can't be here with us. So we're going to start. How we're going to start is to allow the National Department to present, led by the DG, and then once they finish to present, we allow Gauteng to present. We had requested that Gauteng must come with GPF. Are they here? Aha. Yes. We had asked them to come because some of their budget they transfer to GPF. And then, once they finish to present, then we will discuss and questions of clarities. So we will take both reports, one after the other, so that we then discuss in all. We do have the officials from the National Department led by the DG. We've got the officials from the province, Deputy Minister led by the acting HOD. We've got the CEO of GPF amongst us. We've got the officials from the ministry. We've got the officials from the office of the deputy minister. So it's a full house. Everybody is represented here. You are all welcome. These meetings should actually help us, officials. They must help us, please, man. These meetings must help us. Now, we are counting days. You see, Honorable Tole is looking at you guys. What is it that you're going to give him as IFP to go and campaign on? You see? As we're busy with these meetings, we're also doing counting down. It's 77 days to the elections, by the way. In case you didn't know, 77 days. So I'll hand over to probably before the DG do the report, just to allow the Deputy Minister to just greet you, and then hand over to the DG. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks to the delegations both from the national and the province, Gauteng. But most importantly, the members of the Portfolio Committee. Thanks for allowing us to be here today, and we hope we will engage. And I can assure you, the human settlement is on the rocks.
Not you are not on the rocks, you are rocking. Yes, thank you, my sister. Okay. Did you?
Good morning, Chair, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, Deputy Minister, and Minister in absentia. Here we are the full team. I just want first to tender an apology for Joseph Lishabane, who was attending the IMC on land reform. He's representing us there at the IMC on land reform, which is chaired by the Deputy President. From Gauteng, we've got the acting HOD, Ngwako Molokome. He started acting in January.
Just a moment, DJ. Can you hear the DJ there at the back? Can you hear him? All of you? Did you see DJ speaks very softly, he's not a politician. I just wanted to check if he can all hear. All right.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try and use my sharp, straight voice. We also have the CEO of GPF with us here. They will introduce themselves. He also started in November last year. You are aware, Chair, that GPF is one of our implementing agencies in Gauteng. We do have the team. I'm not going to introduce it. It's the normal team. They are all going to participate in this presentation. We will kickstart the presentation, Chair, with the governance issues, governance and administration. And we will be led by DDG Ngongo there. DDG Ngongo will hand over to DDG Cheney. We will take care of the intergovernmental relations component and international relations. DDG Cheney will also take care of Program 3, the non-financial performance indicators, and this is an item that DDG Joseph Lishabane was going to talk to, but because at a DDG level, at a strategic level, we all have to be generalists. If one DDG is not around, another DDG can step in and close the gap. So DDG Cheney will then take care of the Program 3 non-financial performance, and DDG Cheney will hand over to the CFO, who will take care of the financial performance, the transfers, and the performance of provinces and municipalities. And I must say, Chair, that even though our third quarter performance figures look very good, we're not looking bad at all. We're sitting at 78%. We are very much worried about the performance of the metropolitan municipalities. And DDG CFO is going to talk to that item because the metros are not looking good at all. The last time I checked the figures, the preliminary figures for February, there was only one metro that is sitting above 40%, and that metro is Buffalo City. All the other metros are sitting below 40%. You will see the figures. The CFO is going to take us through those figures. And that will conclude our presentation, Chair, and we'll try to be brief, precise, and straight to the point so that we can give Gauteng enough time to make their presentation as well. Without wasting time, Chairperson, I'm now going to hand over to the DDG COO, Ms. Cindy Siwemong. Over to you, madam.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, I will cover the governance and administration, which is mainly Program 1. You will see the relationship that most of the compliance matters, they cover finance, HR, and legal services. The department, during the quarter under review, has achieve 78% compliance to statutory tabling and prescripts in the third quarter. Chairperson, you will notice that there is an improvement of 8% compared to the last quarter, which was 70%. The compliance matters include the departmental strategic and annual performance plans for 2019-2020 as we are concluding that process. It also includes financial statements to the National Treasury. And I will move down to the last bullet, Chairperson, that in terms of the payment of invoices within 30 days, we have achieved 99.6%, which also is a reflection that we are on the right track. In the next slide, I'm still under governance and administration. In particular here, we have to comply with our HR plan, as we know that HR is mostly legislated. During the quarter three, our compliance in terms of the or performance in terms of the implementation of the HR plan was 83%, and again, it's an improvement from the previous quarter, which was 76%. I will just cite maybe few of the HR plan issues that we had to comply with. We are expected as a department to do exit interviews, and we also have to analyze the quarterly leave use and coordination of consequence management for late leave submission. I must also indicate here, Chairperson, that our leave management is now done electronically. We have moved away from the paperwork. The next slide, still under governance and administration. The HR plan, the areas where we were not successful under quarter three were mainly the consultation. If I can highlight the second, third, and the fourth bullet, you will realize that, Chairperson, that it talks to the proposed organizational structure, all those bullets. I must indicate that this is the area that will be concluded under the new administration, but it was planned for in this current financial year. And also the indication there is that if we did not have these three items here, also our performance would have improved. The most important bullet is the last one that talks to the advertisements of the permanent post. As you know, Chairperson, that we had the three-year contracts, which we are now going to be advertising them as full-time based on the effectiveness of the three-year contracts. On the next slide, the progress on legislation, the property practitioners bill, the portfolio committee is aware of it. We are now on provincial consultation. The department is waiting for the approval for the submission of the Home Loan and Mortgage Disclosure Amendment Act to Parliament. I'm moving, Chairperson, to the next slide, which will be the last slide. The progress on legislation, if I can highlight, and the bullet two, Human Settlements Development Bank Bill, which the committee is aware of. We have aligned, the Human Settlements Development Bank Bill has been aligned with an approved policy and the draft business case that is currently being finalized. This is in relation to our Human Settlements Development Bank that we are working towards. The norms and standards for the rental housing are still to be finalized in order to come up with the final draft of the Rental Housing Amendment Act 35 of 2014 regulations. Chairperson, this will be the end of the administration, which reflects the much improvement compared to quarter two. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair, members, DG, Deputy Minister. On the intergovernmental relations, Chair, members, as previously indicated, but we just indicate some of the issues that we've undertaken during the course of the quarter. We've had the following intergovernmental fora. There's the provincial quarterly reviews, which we've now called the planning and budgeting and contracting. We also coordinate the joint JCC on land, and that's with COCTA, Land Reform, Public Enterprises, Public Works, as well as Rural Development and Land Reform. The department also manages, and I must just correct that, it's the Eastern Cape Metropolitan Municipal Interventions Forum, and that includes Buffalo City as well as Nelson Mandela Bay. We've got a joint working group with the Department of Science and Technology, and that's specifically in relation to the CSR, Alternative Building Technology, and that includes the NHBRC. The department also undertakes participates in the basic back to basics. That's the IMC on basic services, disaster management, and then obviously your parliamentary committees. Chen, in relation to the international cooperation, the department, as indicated there, of importance was the implementation of the or the further extension of the cooperation agreement with Cuba, as well as participation on the International Habitat Day, and that was held in KZN Itequini. Chair, we also just give an indication of the various aspects in relation to what the department does, particularly in relation to intergovernmental relations. This includes the rapid RAND release programs, the interventions in the various provinces, and that includes, for example, Gauteng, Eastern Cape, and in the period under review, we also undertook the Governor Mbeki Awards. In relation to program, and this is program three, Chair, just to indicate that part of the, within this quarter, the department undertook or engaged in processes related to the approval of both the HSDG as well as the USDG for the 2019-2020 financial year, because we start in November. And this includes requesting and providing the business plans as well as the project readiness matrices which are carried out for those business plans. Part of that includes the catalytic projects, and the department then has a joint coordinating committee with the relevant provinces together with the HDA on this. Chair, just to indicate, we all also on slide 12 give you an indication of what the current summary in relation to the approved catalytic projects. There's 50, and we give you those that are in planning and those that are in implementation phase. We also, Chair, give you an indication, and we've provided details of this, the mining town projects, which the department manages together with the DPME and Mineral Resources, DMR, and we also have indicated that for this financial year, for the next financial year, as well as the one under consideration, that we've got business plan and ring fence funding, which we manage and coordinate. Chair, we've given indications, and as per the request of the portfolio, we give an indication of the informal settlements, the ones that were assessed. There's 202 that were assessed during the period, and then there were 77 informal settlement upgrading plans developed, and we give an indication of that. The subsidy housing, Chair, we just give an indication of what the projected. This is only for the quarter, not for the entire year, and we give an indication of what the targets are in relation to service sites, houses, and then what the performances were. Then on the issue around the question of the community residential units, we give an indication of those, and these are particularly in Gauteng province, what we've delivered there. Jabulani, Orlando West, and South Hills. And then we also, Chair, just as per request for information of the portfolio and members, we give an indication on slide 17 of all those assessed informal settlements, as well as the and in which provinces and which regions in the case of Gauteng. It's a couple of slides there. And then Chair, just to indicate, for the quarter, we managed to perform and achieve the 250 military veterans unit, and we are in the process of verifying that, and particularly chair around that. And then also on the PHP, those provinces, and there are seven provinces, six provinces and two metros where we are supporting the implementation of the PHP. Chair, I think our CEO has indicated that the program and the consolidation of the three DFIs have been finalized, and then we've given indication of that. Then there was also support in relation to the title deeds, and we explained some of the actions later, and I think it's well documented about what are the concerns that we're having to deal with on that one. This is the number of title deeds that were planned to be registered during the period, the quarter. It was 49,529. Chair, we again missed that target by a substantial amount, and that was, we only delivered 11,000. These are some of the other areas that we've managed to sort out, Chair, because what we've been able to do is we've undertaken beneficiary verification as well as township establishment, and then also we've activated the dispute resolution in relation to the title deed. So you'll see there's work in progress, which ultimately will result in a title deed being issued. This is the planned expenditure against the, and this is on slide 25, the planned expenditure against what we actually achieved. And then, just in relation to monitoring, Chair, we have undertaken, in terms of our sample, we've undertaken 67 projects, which is 13% of the 515 projects that were active in the quarter. We'll just give an indication also, Chair, in relation to the practitioners trained, in terms of the trainer program, in terms of the change management. And that's 179 practitioners that were trained. The students, we've given indication of those students and are currently in the departmental bursary program. First performance, that's on slide 29. And then in relation to the overall target, COO has indicated, this is what we look at. Chair, you'll note that this does represent an improvement. I think the last time was at 52%. So this is it. The program performance, Chair. Now, just this is the dashboard and the summary of where we're at, and it represents a mixed bag. Chair, the programs that are under threat of not being achieved include the FLISP and the title deeds. Those are the two. The others, we are busy verifying and making sure that we can convert some of the, what we would say, amber into green. And we're hoping we can be able to achieve that. Chair, the balance of the slides from slide 35 onward gives MTSF progress in relation to the provinces, in relation to upgrading of informal settlements, the subsidy market, that's the subsidy market, that's the full subsidized, social housing, community residential, the FLISP, the title deeds restoration, the new title deeds, and the other priorities in relation to that. Thanks, Chair, and I'll hand over to the CFO.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable DM and members. Good morning. I'll be fast as well. Chair, the improvement that has been outlined also is related to the performance of the budget and the goods and services as well. However, there were some hiccups in terms of different items, which I will talk to as we move. Chair, we had projected a 69% in terms of our third quarter spending, and we had achieved 69%. but this 69% is informed by the transfers, which we all know, to your municipalities and the metros. But if you look at the other programs, in exception of Program 3, we reached more than the 69% because the projection there was above the 70%, which was 72 and 73 respectively, in terms of Program 1, 2, and 3, and 4. We were let down by the Program 3, and there lies an issue of two items, which is the title deed that Mr. Chain has indicated. There's an amount that we had in terms of the capacity of the human resource that we needed to employ, which we did very late at the stage of November and towards December. However, as we move towards the next quarter, there will be an improvement to that effect, and we're taking care of the NASP, which I think members would recall that NASP has always been a program that has been underperforming in the past years, and we've always had issues with the Auditor General in terms of the underperformance and the material underspending of the program itself. But it's affected by the NASP program. So we have also, in a since then, employed or appointed service providers in the form of some PRTs, which we had to get in terms of the program itself, and it's up and running as we speak. And I think there is a great improvement as far as the upgrading of informal settlements in relating to the program to that effect. So we're pretty getting there, and I wouldn't say we are rocking chair, but we are far, as far as we're far from that, but we're getting there in terms of some of the programs. And I think FLISP, as indicated, is one of the programs that could let us down in terms of the numbers. And then next slide is talking to Neville. Next slide is talking to the economic classification, which we do know. There's an interest to say what is it that we have spent against our compensation of employees. We have projected 280 to that effect. We've spent 258. And I think, Chair, in the past 2 months or so, and I think the fourth quarter would also reflect a slowdown on the COE, we've lost a number of employees, particularly from the HR. And I think there were only 2 from the finance and some from Program 3. And in that effect, it's at the deputy director level. And I think it was due to some of the contracts that we had with them. People needed in full-time employment, and we have since resolved that issue to employ the capacity at the full-time level. So our compensation of employees would not have included the 280, hence the 258. So we ought to have received or paid the 100% because we were budgeting very stringently to this one. And our goods and services to that effect, we have practically overspent on this simply because of the traveling that we have engaged ourselves in terms of our provinces and the support that we are providing and any other matters that are related to the goods and services and in the form of service to the capacity of the Program 3. And if you look at the transfers, that's where the budget is. We've projected 21, and we've already transferred 21. And the major part of this is the Human Settlement Development Grant to our provinces and the metros, inclusive to that. We are left with one tranche to be given to the metros, and we'll talk to that when we conclude the presentation. The third one is talking to the operational budget, which is outside your grants, whereby as a department we had spent almost the total of the projection that we had. We are at 90%, or we were rather at 90%, in contrast to the 589 that we thought we would spend. But that's not a bad sign. It does show that within the programs, although there were some overspending in terms of the items, there are some reconciliation balancing within that for us to reconcile those red flags with the white flags. The next slide is talking to the transfer payments. Chair, I think the emphasis on this one is mainly on the issue of the money that is transferable to the Social Housing Regulator Authority, which is a capital restructuring grant that we are busy finalizing with the SHRA itself for it to be transferred during the course of this period. And that money will be related to the pipeline project that SHRA has developed to date, and including those investments that they have with the other entities as well. If you look at the Human Settlement Development Grant, at that space in time, we had 4.1 that ought to have been transferred, or that's still transferable. We've transferred a part of it already. We are left with one tranche, which is transferable on the 26th of February, and the HSDG to that effect, rather the USDG.
But I must indicate, Chair, that the USDG, and I think it will be best if I talk to it when we look at the slides in terms of the performance of the USDG. And the two grants, which is provincial and municipal, human settlement grants, are also transferable, and they are dependent. They have conditions for it, for them to be transferable. The title deed, we've spoken to it. It is a slow pace, on a slow pace, and it does affect the issue of the title deed's outcomes or the targets that are earmarked against this title restoration program, as well as the 30 million that is capacity on that. Chair, the next slide is talking to the HSDG. We did very well in this financial year in as far as HSDG is concerned, but we do know that we had some challenges in as far as three provinces were concerned, and that those were tabled even at MINMEC, and a decision was taken at some point to continue to transfer the funds regardless of the challenges that we had. In terms of the Northwest, which we do know that it's still under administration, at that time they were still sitting at 769 for it to be transferred in this. And then I also cite the Northern Cape, which we were also worried about as one of the provinces that has the smallest budget, but there was no performance to that effect. The biggest one was Gauteng at that point in time. And Chair, I think the committee does know that we had two interventions, including the intervention to Free State, which to date has improved in terms of the finances, but may not have largely improved in terms of the unit itself. So Gauteng is here, Chair, and I think we leave it to the acting HOD to present its case, including the transfers that are made to HDA and GPF respectively. So I'll leave those two, but I must indicate that in terms of the Northwest, the challenges that we had are getting attention, and they have been receiving attention. And that 769, as at 31st, was taken care of in terms of the projects that have been approved and some service providers that have been approved by the province, and some transfers that are largely informed by the substantial evidence of them being transferable to HDA as well as to the Rustenburg Mirafarm mining company with the contract and service level agreement that they have in place. So Northwest, as we speak, it would be in a position to expend largely the 98% as projected. We will deal with the 2% in terms of the rollover if it's available, and if it's not available, obviously it would have formed part of the transfers that I've spoken to. So I will leave the Gauteng for now because Gauteng is here, but at that point in time, the intervention that we had has made us to be in a position for Gauteng to at least spend the 3.1 billion in contrast to the bigger amount that we had in the previous quarter two and where we were worried. And that intervention has largely intervened in such a way that at least that 1.9 as we speak is reaching at 1.3 to be spent by the end of March. And that would have included the preliminary expenditures that we have. Chair, the next slide is talking to the delivery, which is related to the third quarter. We were supposed to be at a target of 87. However, we achieved an amount of units that have been delivered, 58. And the total housing opportunities delivered was 87,221. Chair can see that if you look at the 87,968 against the 8,221, we were less by a 747 housing opportunities. So basically, the three provinces that I did mention, it's the issue of the Northwest that has let us down by 4.5 housing opportunities, Free State 3.9, and that's where the challenge is because the expenditure is largely on an alert. But if you look at the performance itself, it's down in terms of their housing opportunities. And largely Mpumalanga, Limpopo rather, on the other hand, did let us down in terms of the housing opportunities, even though the spending to that effect was more than the housing opportunities performed. So, Chair, this is the delivery that we have. We were expected to at least achieve 87, but 87.221. It's a very acceptable figure at this point in time. And I think the improvement from Northwest that we are seeing, as well as Limpopo, somewhere, somehow, will actually provide us with a better understanding of the quarter four as we move along. Next slide. Chair, I will leave this one because it politically talks to the previous one. It's just that we are making an example of the delivery in terms of the yearly against the delivery of the 9 months. The previous one was the quarters in terms of the 9 months. Next slide. Chair, I think here is what we are indicated earlier in terms of our allocation, which is your 18.3, in terms of all those milestones that somehow would contribute to the delivery of housing opportunities. And instances where there are no houses that we are getting out of those milestones, but the money has been expended on. So this slide basically tells you to say where the money has gone through and where the housing opportunities are expected and achieved. However, as we count for the 18.3 billion, the 18.3 billion is not all the amount that is accounted for the housing opportunities. Otherwise, we would have a more than amount relative to that. And I usually say when Treasury gets to that, they would expect that 18.3 billion to yield more than the target that we are setting ourselves for. We can move that. FLISP, Chair, the program is very at its tender stage as we speak. And I think, Chair, if we are where we were to present to the Chair in terms of, or rather the committee, in terms of the fourth quarter and the new year that we have started, we are coming up with a same program but different modeling, whereby we have asked the bank to take care of the FLISP program from a market-related point of view. And then we will leave the project point of view to the provinces. And so that will be like a way forward in terms of management of the FLISP and the program itself. And because we want to see it growing, we have a large market out there that is looking for houses. However, there's a challenge in them accessing the funding to that effect. Hence, the Housing Development Bank is taking care of the FLISP from the market perspective. The province will continue with the project. So those kinds of housing opportunities, we'll combine them, and we hope we'll have a better program running in 2019-20 going forward. So at this point in time, we cannot give you the exact figures in as far as FLISP and as good as we would want to, but this is the status of the poor performance of the FLISP. In some instances, yes, you do get numbers in as far as Gauteng, and we've always got numbers for FLISP in Gauteng. But then you will have Mpumalanga giving you housing opportunities, but very less on your FLISP program itself. Next slide. Okay, we'll skip this one, Chair. I think this is just a preliminary, and then we'll deal with the USDG. Chair, the USDG, and I think DG has touched base on it. When we presented the figures to MINMEC, we were not confident, and we are still not confident in as far as the performance of the USDG is concerned. And given the fact that it's towards the end of the term and it's towards the elections, and I think that's where the chair and the committee members would want to shine, we could not be in a position to can provide at least 50% of this grant where we ought to have in terms of the USDG and the metros itself. The spending to that by December, despite the fact that we gave the preliminary figures to MINMEC, was at 25.2%. Now, Chair, if you take the 25% against the 8.5 billion that is spendable, and if it's spendable within the period of January to June, we would be having a better picture. But we know that we have challenges with some of the other municipalities. And DG has indicated one metro, and I think at this point in time I can vouch to say two metros, which is your Buffalo City as well as Nelson Mandela, are at a better space of providing us with better infrastructure in as far as the grant is concerned. However, if you take Mangaung onto the city of Cape Town, we are having challenges in as far as the performance of the USDG is concerned. Etegwini has been the lowest in as far as this performance is concerned. During the previous year, we intervened again during this period, but this year, the likelihood that Etegwini will spend the whole 100% is very minimal. And I want to indicate at this point in time that during this period, we were waiting for province, for metros rather, to improve on the performance before we could even implement the DORA provision. So what we did here, we gave them some space to give us some recovery plan. Some recovery plans are very recoverable. Some were not to the core that we wanted. We've met with Ekurhuleni and the city of Johannesburg, city of Tshwane, eThekwini, and city of Cape Town automatically. We still have to do Mangaung and Nelson. However, Chair, if at this point in time we could not move with speed, and we are not moving with speed in as far as the imposition of DORA provision is concerned, Treasury, if not the National Treasury, has power. And at this point in time, National Treasury is also invoking the Division of Revenue provisions to stop and keep the money for themselves. So what we have done in terms of what Treasury is proposing, in line with what we had proposed, because we already sent letters of intention to withhold, which is the process that is starting. We cannot just stop, unlike National Treasury. We are recommending to Treasury that some of the money that is being aimed to be stopped be redirected, or portion of it be reallocated to Buffalo City and Nelson Mandela respectively, because we believe that these are the two metros that at this point in time would be able to absorb the additional funding and spend towards the end of the financial year. So we have we are in the process of escalating the submission through the DG to National Treasury with the recommendations that we're coming up with. Treasury would just stop the money and take it back to the National Revenue Fund. However, the proposals are being sent to them to redirect some of the monies to Buffalo City and Nelson, and there are projects that are ready to absorb the funding as we speak. So, Chair, this is the status of our USDG. It doesn't look good, and it didn't look good, and it doesn't look good as we speak in terms of our preliminary expenditure as well. However, the intervention that we have are suggesting that not all the metros, in exception of the two, will spend the entire budget. So money will definitely be taken away by National Treasury, despite the fact that we were planning to also take money away and redirect it. The challenge with Treasury in taking the money is the fact that it will not go to any of these metropolitan. It will go back to National Revenue Fund. So our proposal to National Treasury is that we fund the areas and some of the municipalities where we feel that there is infrastructure needed and housing opportunities will improve if the infrastructure is implemented in those areas through the stopped and reallocation process. The next slide, we can move very fast. We can move out of that. And I think the next, some of the slides is the issue of our Smolenyana grants. Neville, we can move directly to that. Whereby, Chair, the title restoration grant, we did indicate that it's moving at a snail pace as well. We are sitting at 69%, and as we move along from the program that Mr. Cheney had delivered, there were some indication that it is not performing as desired. So we were sitting at 39%. There will be improvement during those interventions that DDG Lushabane and the team has put on into this effect. So we can move out of this one. Neville? We did indicate some delays, and I think Chair and the members are quite familiar with that. We've given that up frontly. Neville? The emergency grant, Chair, is also one of the grants that is dependent on the request, and we do have some requests that have been made by institutions. Neville, you can move to the next slide, whereby we are indicating that for everything that we do in terms of the grant framework, we have to deal with it in line with National Treasury and to get National Treasury approval. So we have received the request and approval for Mpumalanga for the provision of 1,887 temporary shelters at the cost of 64. So there's an amount of 121 million that is transferable to Mpumalanga for these particular purpose. And Western Cape as well, 1,300 transitional residential area units at the cost of 64, and inclusive there's amount of 84 that is transferable to Khayelitsha and Philippi. Can we move to the next slide? Then we have applications that are also approved by the department, also waiting for National Treasury approval. Nelson Mandela is one of them. BCM is also here to receive money from the department in as far as the two grants are concerned. Then we have pending applications which are receiving attention by the department, which is the OR Tambo District Municipality and KwaZulu-Natal. Can we move to the next slide? Neville? And the way forward is also in the slide, so members would have a liberty to can read through all of them. Neville? Okay. Chair, with your permission, I'll leave this to all these slides at the end. To DG or Mr. Cheney. These are just actions going forward.
Chair, it's important to state that we've met with the Metro's DDG Cheney last week, met with the HOT and the three Metro's in Gauteng to look at the performance issues, both on the financial and the non-financial side. Minister met with the Thekwini leadership last week. We first met with the mayor and the MEC to discuss the performance of Thekwini, because you would have noticed that Thekwini is sitting at 14%. We still have to disperse 900 million rands to Thekwini before the end of February. We needed to satisfy ourselves that the recovery plan that Thekwini has put forward is credible. In fact, DDG Cheney has to fly back to Thekwini this afternoon for a 4 o'clock meeting to discuss the credibility of that recovery plan. We worried about Thekwini because Thekwini has never failed to spend 100% of their allocation. Even last year, we were worried about them because this time last year, Thekwini was sitting at 38%, 39%. But this year they're sitting at 15%. Last year they spent 100% of their allocation. They're still confident that they are going to spend 100% of their allocation, because if we say history justifies the present, it's easy to accept that they will spend 100%. But they're giving us sleepless nights because if we don't act between now and end of March, so the end of February, Treasury is going to act, and it may not be in our hands. Once Treasury starts acting, then the funds will move out of the sector. So we've been spending a lot of time in Thekwini with the leadership there, with the city manager, the executive team. In fact, Treasury had a bilateral with Thekwini last week Thursday as well, because they also wanted to satisfy themselves that their recovery plan is credible. Thekwini do have projects. They do have absorptive capacity. There are projects that are moving. There are projects that are kicking in now. Bridge City is one of them. Konobia is one of those projects. I think they've been grappling with supply chain management processes this year. You would have noticed that it has taken them a little bit longer to deal with supply chain. So we're spending a lot of time on Thekwini, dealing with Thekwini. In fact, Minister is leading from the front, because Minister was in Thekwini last week, Friday, meeting not just with Thekwini leadership, but with the provincial leadership as a whole. So we there's a lot of shuttling between Pretoria and Thekwini over the last 2 weeks. We're spending more time with Thekwini, because if Thekwini doesn't perform, then we will be affected. Nelson Mandela is also not looking bad. I think Nelson Mandela is sitting at 39% chair. So we may want to consider them for reallocation. But the best performing in terms of financial indicators right now is Buffalo City. And I think it's important to acknowledge that Buffalo City is close to 50% right now, CFO. We looked at the preliminary figures. And it is our principle to reward good performance. So if you perform, then we need to reward you, and we must punish poor performance. Chair, in a nutshell, this is our outlook in the third quarter, and we are ready to take comments and questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Didri, for that, with the team, for that presentation, the third quarter report of the department. We're not going to take comments. We had agreed that let's allow Gauteng to present, and then we discuss, because what we're going to do, we'll end up discussing the same things in the same reports here. So we will take Gauteng now and then have a discussion in total. Just note the thing.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Kwaku Mulukomi, acting head of department from Gauteng. I started on the 10th of December. I'm sure this is my third or fourth week. Chairperson and the other members, the previous presentation by Neville and the CFO dwelled much on the third quarter report. So to avoid repeating the same presentation, how then became innovative and say what is post third quarter, because that's what you want. Otherwise, then I'll be repeating what National has presented. So I'm quickly going to show how we performed. We have an adjusted business plan and the target of size to be serviced is 13,124. And the housing units to be delivered is 29,536. But at the moment, in terms of the size, we have delivered 7,364. So when we count the size, we don't count one site. We have to allow the totality of all those sites, and then we get the certificate, and we can record them. So we're quite confident that by the end of March, we have, with the size and services, we have moved. What we have picked up, Chairperson, is that where we have a control, I think it's important for political leadership to know this, where we have got a control on the bulk infrastructure, we perform better. We use 2% of our SDGD to support West Rand and CDV. Then we are doing very well. This size that you see, 7,000 something, they are largely contributed by the mega projects in West Rand, because we have control over the bulk that we allocate, plus the money for mining town. Of course, CDV has got a bigger issue of a sewer scheme, which the MEC together with the Premier and the other stakeholders from water and sanitation are attending to that matter. It does affect the south of Joburg. So up to Protea Glen, somewhere those areas, and Annandale. Then this is the performance per municipalities. So at the moment, in terms of the total delivery, I'm just focusing on the sites. We have delivered 10,141 sites, which already showing that we are moving towards closer to 13,000. We left with only 3,000 to reach the target. But if you look at the units, which is 7,375. I'm using the subtotal there. You can see that in terms of the top structures, we're not doing well, but we're doing well in terms of the servicing of sites. So in terms of the planning, we are actually producing a better pipeline in the next financial year, because the mistake that Gauteng did was that we happened to rush into top structures, but yet the services and the bulk has not been addressed. But that has been picked up. We have, through the support of National and the municipality, had a round table discussion to align the business plan with the business plan of USDG and the HSDG. Chairperson, I think this is very important. The Minimac resolved that the municipality, when they approved their business plan for USDG, that money, it is not, it's a money of Deputy Minister, it's your money, it's sliced. So before National Union Settlement approved that, the MEC of the provinces must concur, so that now the plans of the municipality in terms of the ESDG then aligned with the UN settlement. So if the three spheres do not put signatures on the business plan, you are continuously going to have the same problem where province we have 5 billion but unable to spend it because the municipalities use our money for posh suburbs because they pay our rent. That money is not their revenue. It was meant for the poor because they top sell from a human settlement. Then I'm going to expenditure. The CFO indicated 62%. We are currently at 67% of the amount that was transferred to us. But as I go on, you will see we have spent 3.4 billion and then available in the budget we have got 1.6 as at the 15th of February. But as I go on, you will see the numbers changes because I want to assure the committee that we're not sleeping on our job. Something is happening, but we disclose so that you can follow the process and how we then go to the next level. This graph, this is just to show that we went to school. It's just the simply the same as numbers that appear in that chairperson. So it's exactly the same slide as the... sorry, Chairperson, I was not meaning that. I was just trying to say the numbers, we just, you know, sometimes we need to remind ourselves of our culture, where we used to do good paintings, like the one in Mpumalanga. So the summary says it shows 10,000 stands having 41 delivered and 7,375. So we're lagging behind in terms of the top structure. The other thing with Gauteng, we don't build one structure per stand. Those are very few. We build blocks. So you find that an area, a stand, a block, four blocks. So before you finish the blocks, you can't count. But if you are building one house, you will count it because you will allocate. So you find that four blocks is for four families. So you need to complete the whole block and allocate four families before you count, because of it's the smallest province in, geographically in the Republic of South Africa. So we're moving into higher density, and that has its own, if you compare, I don't want to compare with other provinces, maybe I'll compare where I was working before in Limpopo. It was easy because you just plant a house there, but this one, it is a totally high density type of approach, and you won't count until that is done, complete. The whole block is complete. So this is just to show the performance. I'm sure it repeats itself. We're not doing well on the township. That is the one, TDRG. It's just a program. The CFO has, and the Neville has indicated that. What we have picked up, Chairperson? This township were established in 1994 onwards. And this act, the following act was used, Less Formal Township Act, which means the township was established without complying with the conditions that the municipality put in place, because we're fast-tracking delivery. Now, it is catching up with us. In Gauteng, I can just give branch Fisherville. Beautiful place, but the conditions that municipality put in terms of the service standards, your stormwater drain, your tire road, were not delivered at that level. And then as a result, because of those conditions attached to the establishment, you can't issue a title deed. So the focus on this program, Chairperson, is to regularize and turn those townships to be registered and proclaimed. Key to this kind of program is the municipality relaxing the condition that they set, so that it is possible for them to relax the condition based on the fact that this was for the poor people, because the aim was that the HSDG will deliver the houses and rudimentary roads, and the municipality will then put quality standard roads in terms of their standards. But unfortunately, that good plan, there's poor intergovernmental relation between the spheres. So then at the end of the day, the province then have their eggs on their face, because they believed that the municipality will improve the standards in terms of the condition set. So what the DG this year has emphasized is that we should put more effort on proclamation, registration, and of townships. The moment you win that battle, the title deed is already there, because just lodge it. But if those conditions have not been complied for, So you are likely to have a problem with the production of the title deed. The chair, this is what you are saying, Honorable Stolle. You said Honorable Stolle, if I remember quite well. This is a slide we can use. It's a trend of performance for the term of this government. We are busy writing a five-year report. If you look at the total houses opportunities created by Gauteng, the last column is 1.1 million. Chair, I'm sure you see it, 1.1 million. So if you then translate it to families, because if you say five families per house, you're talking about a lot of families benefiting from 1.1 million housing opportunities. Then we then go to the title deed, both pre, post, and the new one. The DG in the Minimac indicated that we almost at 76,000 title deed, higher than any province in the Republic of South Africa. But the numbers of the backlog is higher. We delivered 76,000. It goes to the president, what Neville was presenting. But the backlog is more, is 130-something thousand. And then you then have a problem in terms of percentage. But the numbers are higher. So we have got 11,000 for pre, 62,000 for post, and 884 for the current. We still have, Chairperson, the problem with the current projects at the moment. It's an urban, Gauteng is an urban province. The building regulations are very strictly enforced. The town planning approvals are enforced. So if the township is not registered and proclaimed, you're still going to have another backlog created, so which we have now elevated in Gauteng, planning unit at a DDG level. Actually, my current position, I'm a DDG responsible for planning, because trying to address the issues of planning, because we have been running into construction, forgetting that before you construct, there must be a planner who does the whole preparation. So there was no DDG for planning. There was so-called COO. We don't have COO anymore. It's DDG projects and DDG planning. The two work together. We have to sign the business plan, and they have to implement. So that is the change that we have introduced in the Gauteng to address the issue of registered over townships. Now, we have got the medium-term strategic framework, which you set every time when you start the new government. You'll be setting it from the 8th of, starting from the 8th of May. This is what we want to show you. In terms of FLISP, we did not do well. We only delivered 4,000. You can see there's a shortfall of 23,000. It's very high. But informal settlement, Chairperson, we did well. You gave us 51,000 in terms of your medium-term strategic framework, 41,027 as our target. We have delivered a total of 43,000. We actually outpassed the target. The social CRU, the CRU, Chairperson, in Gauteng, the CRU in hostels, we not necessarily did well. We assumed that the people in the residents of the hostel will be able to pay the rental that we have delivered, and it's not happening. Now, Gauteng has took a decision that the hostel-related development must be RDP status, because the residents there are definitely more than 60-70% of residents in the hostels are not employed. If they are, their salaries cannot afford the rental stock. So we are working on that. The hostel has been vandalized in some other areas because they were empty for some time. So we then brought the NHBRC to do structural assessment. And then when we rectify, we turn that into RDP workup. Social housing is largely implemented by ourselves, and Shara is the leader. So in terms of the target was 9,000, we only delivered 5,000, which is the variance of 49%. The military veterans, Chairperson, I'm going to slow down here because this is a very project that the NEC was here, is very passionate about. Chairperson and the deputy chair and the members, we managed to deliver 200 units for military veterans. and the total is 323. It's very small compared to the target of 2,837. What we have done, we are working together with the military Department of Military Veterans. The DG have just seen his call now. We have identified a project in Kurulian called Pamridge. We are building a village of 770 units for military veterans. Already procurement is at advanced stage, and then the Department of Military Veterans will provide that technical support. So that project, it will be one of the flagship projects, and I understand it has been elevated to the presidency at the moment. So that will be an example of a military veterans village. I wish I had photos of the area. It's a beautiful area called Palm Ridge. It has got high service standards. The contracts are about to be appointed. Procurement ahead from my colleagues has been completed. It's for us to decide to start hand over and to deliver the numbers. So I can't repeat the issue of tax deed. So the land parcel, Chairperson, we do acquire land in terms of the Division of Revenue Act. Gauteng has been given 10,000 hectares to acquire, because if you do not acquire land, we'll never have a restructure the space. We do understand the process of expropriation. We do understand that. But we then say, while that is process on, we'll continue procuring land and as a transitional matter. So the quota for, I'm going to jump the, because the slide I'm looking for, the mining towns, Chairperson, is very important area that you, I think you will have interest at, because we need to revive that area. They have one of the mining houses has donated 3,000 hectares of land for urban agriculture. So now at the moment we have transferred, these are the transfers, and then there is the work, outfall sewer, will be studied, electrification, and then there is the what has been done with the money. So I don't want to repeat. So we are doing a serious impact in terms of infrastructure in the mining towns. And that's why if you look at our production level in Gauteng at the moment, West Rand is leading in both infrastructure and the mega projects. Now the transfers, we had a Chairperson, I think you need to know this, it's very important because it was on the newspaper, we had some little, the MEC and the executive mayor of Joburg, there was some misunderstanding. I want to clarify this because it's very important for the Chairperson. We have never reduced the gazetted amount for Joburg. Joburg was not, the city of Johannesburg was not implementing projects, e.g. Riverside View. It's a beautiful project next to Denfen. I'm sure you all know it. That project we have to intervene and sign tripartite agreement with Johannesburg so that we can pay money directly from the department. So once we sign that type of agreement, you can't transfer the money while you have signed that, because then you'll be double dipping. You know, you send the money while you, so you pay directly. Then there were projects that were not being implemented, like Ellis Mutualeri and others. Then we said to ourselves, why do you transfer the money where the projects have stalled? But in short, let me summarize it. We met the executive mayor. We explained he's very happy. And then for Neville has circulated the human rights media release that the city of Johannesburg and Gauteng have no longer have any issues. They found each other. So indeed, when we finished that meeting, after we explained to the executive mayor, he understood that there was no reduction. So we only gathered them 135 million because South Hills is ready. We're teaching them that we transfer the money provided there's a contractor appointed and all readiness schematics have been done. So he understood that, and then we don't have a problem anymore with Joburg on that matter. City of Tshwane, we have 22 million, it's already been transferred. And City of Ikurulen, Chairperson, Ikurulen has done very well. I'm just shocked why they're not doing good now with the USDG. But a year before, they have done very well. They have got a lot of service sites. You go to next month, there'll be Alliance, Mulele, you can name them. more than 8,000 sites have been serviced. So we then, because of that, DG, you said we reward good work. We rewarded them, then we're giving them 506 million, which then they will use them to build on the those service sites. But unfortunately now, this year, 18-19, I don't know what went wrong with the USDG, but they were doing very well in 70-80. That's why we're able to give them money for top structures. So the list is there for what we are doing as far as bulk is concerned in Mrafo, in Mahali City, is because we do have a control over that. And Rand West. HDA, Chairperson, is known that the money was transferred back to National Treasury, but they had invoices of work done and obligations of contracts that were already appointed by them. So we had to give them, Chairperson, 158 million to pay those invoices and be able to comply with the obligations. I wrote a letter to them to assure us that they have a system in place, they've got an administrator, and then they do have other colleagues that can drive the process. But we are going to monitor them quite closely. We will only, for now DG and Chairperson, we'll only focus on those that already been supposed to be implemented and look whether it might be advisable going in future, giving them more money while they're still having this kind of, that we'll monitor. The star performer, the CEO of GPF, the budget is 771 million and he has already spent 690 million. And then the delivery, 4,900 stands already been delivered, largely in West Rand because we have got a control. And you can see quite a number of units are at certain level and it are blocks. That's why I'm saying it's not a house standing alone. Most of them are blocks. So with now what you will see as I go on what I'm doing regarding them with the other things, Chairperson, the challenges that you know that are common is poor planning in the area of spheres and the bulk issues. And DG, this year I hope you will approve my business plan, our business plan on the 1st of March, because what we did, Chairperson, I'm now disclosing DG while listening to me. He gave me the DDG Lishabane to share business plan round table. Municipalities were there. The facilitator was Neville Chain. So I did that deliberately so that can be together with them in case anything go wrong. So now, the municipality participators, the province and municipalities, DDG Lishabane and DDG Neville, we all agree. So if we all agreed on the roundtable discussion and clean the business plan, remove projects that are not ready, so we expect the business plan to be approved by the 1st of March. But I've seen you invited me to agree management to further refine it. I'm going to jump, this is the slide I wanted my chairperson and the deputy minister and the members of the committee to look. This is Gauteng. After, from the 10th of December to date. I'm going to be slow. Chairperson, 3,000,
we understand, HOD, you don't have to be slow. We know that you want us to see that 88%.
Yes. 3,477 spent, 67%, which the CFO has indicated. Now I'm already ahead of the CFO, and because I said I don't want to repeat her presentation. So let's check the claims. The claims include the CFO. These claims, Chairperson, even before I came here in the morning, I was awake at 5 o'clock in the morning. I was phoning Euro, where is this 266 million? Megaba Musa say, I'm not good, but Megaba Musa, this Oshé, or Dikai, Dingyezi Mowwe. So, Kurumese, two people, we will check out now. Why are they sitting? Why are they in that office? Because if they move, they then change our expenditure to 73%. Then that's me. I don't excuse myself.
Yeah.
But on my table, there's nothing. On myself, is nothing. 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 Now, grant. at grants, there's 221 million, the grant management. If that went through, we are at 77%. Then eGov, that's treasury, that is headed by MEC Barbara Chris. That's where the final payment to a bank goes. So we've got 540 million claims in that office. So if it is paid, we are almost at 87%. Then we have got the ones from regions, which I have sent somebody to go and collect them in those, maybe like in Zambia, those are they must find themselves in head office. So if this is done, I spoke to the MEC and sent the WhatsApp to him to say, MEC, go and talk to public, your counterpart to have a special run for human settlement on daily basis so that we do not have a court meeting on the 15th of March. So the MEC indicated, I wrote an email this morning to HOD of Treasury to say, if this 80% is not paid, you will be responsible because I already have done my job. But this year we want to spend 100% and we do not want to have what you call a rollover. I hope I will say in course somewhere. The job created, we have got the EPWP, scale level is very important. We already created 3,954 job opportunities with the 9,000. What they do, DID and Public Works, when you increase, you spend your money, they will increase. I can assure you next year I'm going to get, April, will get more than 9 million because they use your spending and your job created to increase your budget. And then INCOS, so that's the conclusion. Realo.
Hello, thank you very much, Acting HOD for Gauteng. Of course, without even blowing your own horn, we can really do see that there is improvement from Gauteng from previous performances, of course, because of the intervention, Acting HOD, of the National Department to assist that province, as we had asked them to do. But those are the presentations, honorable members. Both the national picture and the provincial picture. We then can start discussing. You don't have to restrict yourself to anyone. You can just ask. They will note and they will then come to you. Whilst you are trying to collect your minds, maybe one area that particularly the National Department must assist us on is the issue of the emergency grant. We know that it's a fairly new grant, but the spending on that grant is very low. Yet we know day in and day out of emergencies that are around the country. My question would be, how much do provinces know on how to access this grant? Whilst we could see in the report that Western Cape has asked for some money for Philippi and Khayelitsha, if I'm correct, and there is also a request, I think, from Eastern Cape, from O.R. Tambo. I think what I want to know is, how much do provinces know how to access this grant? Is there assistance in terms, because sometimes provinces will take time to access the grant because of the red tape that you yourselves have created. Are you assisting them in making sure that they access this grant? And when they have accessed it, what is the turnaround time for them, like now that Eastern Cape and Western Cape has put in applications? How long will it take for the National Department to actually approve those grants? It's just for me to have an understanding so that even members can know. Because sometimes you put these things in there to say, no, but we comply. But in actual fact, how does provinces and even municipalities have access to that emergency grant, and how are they assisting by yourselves in terms of accessing it and the turnaround time? Honourable members, I was just trying to make sure that you collect your minds as I ask that question. Otherwise, I'm ready to take hands now so that you can make comments and questions on both reports. I know Honourable Stoney has got his hand up. Honourable Kabini, Honourable Ngadimeng, Honourable Rolmaran, for now. Suyenza Londo, Honourable Malad. Suyenza, don't do that. Don't do that. Because, you see, I know now, because you are not sure what to ask, because with that explanation from acting HOD, I know because the mayor understood in Joburg, you also understood. So I'll not hold hands for now, and then we can then take them. Another boost, Tony?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and to all the presenters, the national and the provinces. But, Chairperson, my concern, Chairperson, is that they say they have 96.4% for invoices. Surely they can give us the proof of what they are saying, because we have contractors, especially those who are led by women in Ekurhuleni, which are not being paid since last year from Gauteng.
You are asking the province?
Yes.
And Honourable, please don't do that. I'm going to move you there. You can't disturb Honourable Stoney. Don't do that.
Yes, that's what I want to find out, Chairperson, because another thing, Chairperson, is the increment of informal settlement, because they say, according to them, they manage the informal settlement, and the upgrading of informal settlement. But the informal settlement in Gauteng are increasing. Situations are increasing, Ekurhuleni and Tshwane, especially Tshwane now, because Tshwane, they did manage the invading of land. But now they are increasing in Tshwane, in numbers now. Most of the time when you drive in Tshwane, you find that there's a lot of informal settlement, the mushrooming of informal settlement. So I want to find out the problem. And the other one, Chairperson, is that one of the targeted. It shows that the accounting is failing and targeted. So what is the program? What is their, what mechanism do they have actually to fast track the issuing of targeted? Well, and the other one, Chairperson, the inner city regeneration, because they always say there is a lot of improvement in the inner city regeneration in Gauteng. But if you go to the city of Johannesburg, there is no progress to all those structures or properties that they are saying they are regenerating those infrastructures. And the other one, Chairperson, is that when I'm worried, I was in Terma, this week. Chairperson, you cannot drive in that hostel. There's no infrastructure in term. I know always I talk about Fosoras, Tokosa and other areas, but in term I was, this weekend I was in term. There's nothing that is happening in term. And the last one, Chairperson, in city of Johannesburg, the illegality of housing that is happening in Tisloot is still there. There is nothing. There is no management. What is the program that do they have a program to manage that in city of Johannesburg? And the last one, Chairperson, in the info is okay. okay. And I think that one is the last one, Chairperson. I'm worried about the Cape Town informal settlement, because I always talk about that informal settlement of Cape Town. There's nothing that is happening.
Thank you very much, Honourable Stoney. Honourable Kabini.
advantage of being small, you must be close to the microphone. I was on the later note. Chair, thanks very much for an opportunity. Let me just commend the department about the good presentation. It's nice and it's visible, and you can even go through it and understand it very well. But Chair, my question is only one, on the issue of title deeds. Seemingly there are no serious intervention in terms of that, because provinces are given these opportunities to run with these title deeds, but there are no implementation supervision on these provinces. So this gives us a serious problem, because if you are not concentrating on the very same program of title deed, therefore we are not doing well in terms of service delivering of our people. Because if you find that in some of the provinces, title deed programs are just meant for just for by the way, I'm just doing the title deed program, and then thereafter there are no results. We find that in one area they are doing thrice or fourth, but there are no results of the title deed. So this is a question that I'm actually stressing, that intervention has to be made, especially on this program of title deed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kabini. Honorable Katimeng.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also thank all the presentations that were made, especially the improvements on the work. I will start with the one of the department, the slide on the third quarter provincial delivery. We are aware that all the provinces are not doing very well in terms of this, the issue of title deeds, but at least some of them, they are able to give monthly reports with evidence. But I'm just worried about the Eastern Cape, whereby a number of title deeds planned are 4,177, and then in terms of delivery, it is zero. What is really happening there in the Eastern Cape? And then what is the department doing about this? If maybe they can tell us the intervention that they are planning, or the plan of action in terms of that. And then the second one is on Gauteng. Gauteng, our nightmares in this portfolio committee was always the issue of fleet, title deeds, military veterans. But at least you are doing something about the military vets. You are improving on that one. Then your fleet programs, you have just reported that you are not doing well, very well. But I don't see on your recovery plan where you are mentioning what you're going to do in terms of improving on that program. That is the only questions that I'm having now.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kadi Meng. Honorable Malak.
Thanks, Chairperson. I only have two questions, both to the department and Gauteng. If I recall very well, I think sometime last year or even the year preceding that, when the concerns about the underwhelming delivery of title deeds came to the committee, there was reference to interventions that were being made in terms of providing organizational infrastructure in the form of additional people being allocated to foresee the program and also assist either the municipalities or the provinces so that we can expedite the process of rolling over, because I recall at the time the worry was that at that rate we're going to be far away from meeting the MSTF target. So I just want to get a sense of the pace of delivery subsequent to those interventions, because the picture, there has been some movement, but it's not overwhelming movement that will bring the department even closer to that target. And that goes both to the department and even Gauteng. And secondly, the issue of military veterans, because it has also been reoccurring. And I just want to establish from both the department and even the Department of Human Settlements in Gauteng, what is the actual issue with the slow pace with regards to military veterans? I mean, are they just not there? Is it an administrative issue in the form of intergovernmental relations between the department, the two departments that are involved, being the Department of Military Veterans and the Department of Human Settlements and municipalities, in the event that municipalities are involved? Because on any given occasion in South Africa, it's very rare not to come across a military veteran, one who's even in need of housing. So when you look at the statistics in terms of delivery there, I mean, it's frustrating to try and grasp what is the actual delay with regards to this rollover. And I mean, to the HOD of Gauteng, so you make reference to this project in Riverside, no, not Riverside View, I'm mixing it, to the military village in Palm Ridge. Even with the delivery of that, you are still going to be under 50% of your MSTF target for military veterans, for housing for military veterans. So, I mean, while it is comment worthy to raise that, less than 50% for an MCS period is way too underwhelming to be a source of pride of delivery. So what are the actual issues that are delaying the rollover of houses to military veterans? Because I remember again when this issue came to the fore over a year or so ago that references were made about how we've improved relations in identifying where the need was and the measures that were being put in place, so that by now we don't have this situation where we are in. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malatsi, and welcome MEC from Gauteng. MEC Uhuru, we had received your apology. Honorable Volmaran.
Thanks, Chair. I'm a bit sufficiently covered on a number of questions I wanted clarity on. Safe to say that given the comparison between your second quarter and this quarter, there is some level of improvement, especially from the department, and we hope that Treasury hits their request for the direct transfer to Nelson Mandela and Buffalo City because of that performance. The military vets, we have been told a number of times that we don't seem to make a breakthrough, and not that the budget is not available, but rather, like the old saying in the Northwest, that the beneficiaries are scarce. So, but at some stage, it was a question of the department vis-a-vis the department that deals with military vets. Are we sure of the concurrence that is needed in terms of both the departments working together to achieve this goal? Because as much as we might plan, and the place might be nice, the level of services, but if there's some backtracking from the department, it might just not see the it coming to fruition. The title of this issue, Chairperson, from the department's point of view, also we have been not been doing very well. But have we also considered that some problems emanating from the cross borders across, let me take Northwest in the middle. You have Northwest and you have Gauteng province and you have Free State province. And all these three provinces have a backlog in terms of the issuing of title deeds. But some of the problems relate to the intergovernmental relations between these provinces, where, you know, in the old Bob, they had properties all over the show. So whilst we are not discussing Tshwane, there are properties from Northwest which are in Tshwane which needs to be given title deeds, but you cannot get to that point. You are in the Free State, where properties belonging to the Northwest are in the Free State, and you cannot necessarily get clearance for title deeds and so on. So this will, if we don't rectify that part of the intergovernmental relations so that we can have the documentation that goes with title deeds, so what is the plan of the department around that? The last one, Chair, is the FLISP performance. Also not satisfying, but given the category of beneficiaries that the FLISP program needs to is supposed to serve, and the demand that there is within that sector, there was mention about giving the bank the marketing part and the department, and can you just expatiate on the modalities there, Chairperson? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Just before I hand over to officials to respond, on the National Department report, on the third quarter report, the first part that the DG Ngongo was presenting, the issue of the people with disabilities has been sitting with you for some time in terms of meeting the target of the department. And I think probably we need to have an understanding of what is it that you're doing. I think from the time that we have come here, you've never met the 2%. And I see in the report that you were trying to have a plan around this. Maybe if you can just probably expand more on this. And in the same part of your report that you presented, Titi Shingongo, you talk up, there's a sentence there that talks about the Skills Development Committee met only once. I don't know why. Is there a reason? Or how often was it supposed to meet? I'm raising this question because it talks to the issue that the problem that we have in the country around the issue of skills development and what role can the department play, particularly around young people. So if it would be nice to understand why it met once. Did it actually see that it doesn't have a need to play, a role to play around the issue of the skills development? Just for the members to have an understanding. I think for me, around the issue of the military vets, if you look at the report of the National Department and the report of the Gauteng, department says you've delivered 250 military vet houses. Gauteng says we've delivered 200. Does that mean the 8 provinces delivered 50? The bulk was delivered by Gauteng, even though they have underperformed. But they actually have delivered 200 of your target, which is now you've done 250. Can you unpack that and have an understanding exactly of what is happening there? Because if you look at those numbers, that means actually other provinces have not done anything. If Gauteng had not delivered that 200, you wouldn't be having any military reserves actually to boast about as this national department. Can we understand that? If it can be clarified for us. Now, title deeds is something that I'm not even going to talk to, because I think all the members have raised this issue. It's something that it's a problem, because provinces are not delivering on this thing. But I think we must put the blame squarely on the national department at this point in time. Because you've got a grant, no, you've got a grant, you've realized that the provinces are not delivering. You've tried to put a plan together. But still, there isn't any improvement. And I think as you look at provinces, you are able to see that you are not doing anything. What then are you going to do better as the national department to actually make provinces improve? Because today Gauteng is here, but we all know that all provinces are not doing well on the issue of title deeds. And this issue of title deeds, we've been sitting with it as this portfolio committee from time memorial. We've raised this issue because we had always said it speaks to the economic plight of the people of South Africa, because once you have that paper that is called a title deed, it actually assists you to be more economically viable once you have it. Now, we are not delivering on this thing, and there are challenges, but what is the national department going to do better to make sure that, because the provinces are not improving on this thing, it means actually they don't know what to do. What is it that we could do better? So maybe we need that understanding and that report. And DG and your team, the last time you were here to present the second quarter report, because there were slides there that talked about the students in the provinces that are being assisted by the department, I deliberately asked a question which I'm going to ask again. You have students that have completed their studies, supported by human settlement, but they are in the wilderness. None of them are doing any internship with the department. What is it that you are going to do or you are doing? We've asked you this question last time. We want to know now. What is it? Because those students have graduated. Human settlement paid for their bursaries. They have studied, but you are not using them. What plan do we have for these students? You've got more that are in the pipeline. We're paying for them. They're going to graduate and finish, and then we just let them go all over. So can we have a clear plan on these students? Now, Program 3, DG, has been perennially not performing. This has been one program that has not been performing since 2014. This program three. Even today is the worst performing program. And it's a very important program because it talks about the delivery. And you, every time we raise this question and we said, is it the issue of capacity? What is it that can be done better? Program three is a problem for the National Department. Can we have an understanding of why? Now, I'm raising this question of the social housing capital grant in relation to the performance of Gauteng. In the report of the National Department, the social housing capital grant is very low. I think it's about 59%. Gauteng, which every time that social SHRA is here, pipeline projects are from Gauteng. The bulk of the projects of SHRA are from Gauteng. But if you look at the performance of Gauteng around social housing, it's poor. It's very low in this report that we are being given. Is there a correlation between the capital grant from the National Department that has been slow into going to SHRA? And we have always been saying Gauteng eThekwini should be more vigorous in terms of SHRA, because people that would want to have rental units are in Gauteng. So if then we're not doing that well in this area of the program, can we have an understanding? Because they've always been the star performer, because once they perform, the whole department performs. But they haven't performed well. What are the challenges? Can we have an understanding? Northern Cape, DG. We have not been interrogating Northern Cape because we've always been saying they take the smaller part of the budget. And they have been, even in the last quarter, they were in the bottom three. Even now, they are not performing. This is one province that should be easy to help and manage because it's a small province, it's got the smallest budget, it's supposed to just function, finish the budget and come back and ask for more. But there seem to be challenges with Northern Cape. We have not called them here because we've been dealing with the bigger provinces, but the problem of Northern Cape seems to be persisting. Can we be explained what are the problems in Northern Cape? Northern Cape now is sitting at 44% in terms of performance overall. What are the challenges there? So that we have an appreciation of actually understanding what are the problems. We've raised this thing about Free State. Free State performs well in terms of financial performance. They would finish their money like today. They don't mind. They don't have issues in finishing their money. The problem is, what are they using that money for? They would finish the money, but in terms of the deliverance, we don't have much there. And we raised this thing. We've raised it several times as this portfolio committee. And we've said, can the department try and get closer to Free State? Because even now, we've got the same situation. Money has been spent well, but what then we get out of that money as the department is not something that we can be joyful about. So could we then get a report that says, yes, there has been an interaction with Free State, and yes, this is what they had said is their challenges, and this is what the department is doing to assist, and so that we have that comfort as this portfolio committee, that the things that we raise with yourself are being taken into account. USDG, I think let's applaud and appreciate the fact that the two metros called Buffalo City and Nelson Mandela have done their best to perform. And I think let's support the department in saying those two metros must be assisted in getting more funding, if it's possible. But look, you have, out of 11 billion, you still are sitting with 8 billion. Let's just be realistic. You're sitting with 8 billion that have not been spent. Of course, by the time of the financial year of the municipalities finished, it will have improved. But when we say let's try and give more to these two, we're talking about more or less how much. We're talking about more or less how much in terms of assisting them. So that when these things are talking around, as this committee, we have an idea of what is it. Obviously, it wouldn't be a lot of amount, but we just want to have a sense. We have always had a problem of metros that are not performing, but Etekwini this time around is taking the cake. And I think before this committee rises, before we go home on the 20th of March, we should have had an interaction with Etekwini municipality to understand exactly what are the problems. Why would they by the only this time have spent only 15% of 1.9 billion? 15% of 1.9 billion. And I think we need to have a sense of understanding. Is it an issue of capacity? What are the, I heard DG, what DG says, there's also challenges of supply chain. But we would have loved to, they must come and actually tell us their turnaround strategy in terms of making sure that we, even if we are not here in the next term, I mean in this committee, or we would have had an understanding that at least Etekwini have put systems in place to actually spend USDG better. So I think at some point this committee must agree that Etekwini must come. Whilst all of them have not done well, but Etekwini is the worst performer. If we were in class, we would have said they are number last. So we would need to engage with them. In the last financial year, we called the city of Cape Town here. We called city of Joburg twice. We have interacted with Ekurhuleni. We have interacted with Etekwini once, but I think they should come back. So I thought it's important that we should raise those things, because it's not like it's, we have not done anything around this USDG. And I think the issue that is being raised by the HOD of Gauteng that says this money is actually a human settlement budget. It was sliced off from the overall budget of human settlement. Therefore, provinces should actually have a say, and the department should actually agree on the plans of these metros in terms of this is what we're going to do, so that they don't have the leeway of deciding what is it that they want to do this money for, this because this money was meant for infrastructure for the poor communities. And the reality is that it is not doing what it's supposed to do. So I think I concur with that proposal, and I think the department and the minister and they would look at that issue and actually, so that come next term there's a better way of actually managing this issue of the USDG. We might not do something much now, we will try, but at least for the incoming Portfolio Committee of Human Settlement and for the department itself, there's a better way of managing this thing. Now, Gauteng, whilst we applaud your improvement in the performance, and in this I think I must actually take a moment to appreciate that GPF is actually trying hard to make you a star performer. Because if you look at the monies that you have transferred to GPF, they've spent almost all the money. And that way, they're making you look good. So before you blow your own horn, HOD, blow that horn of the GPF first. Okay, at home, okay. Okay. No, we understand. But I think we appreciate CEO of GPF that as an implementing agent of Gauteng, you've really tried to make them look good. They would have been worse off. Whilst we say that, remember, you had money that you transferred to HDA. You've managed to salvage 5.7 billion of that money by saying they must pay outstanding invoices. Ne? But you had you lost some money. You lost some money from when Treasury took money from HDA back to Treasury. Gauteng was the worst province that got affected. So maybe tell us, how has that affected your budget and your deliverance? I heard you when you were saying you've had a discussion with them and the department to say, before we transfer anything further to them, we need to see if they've got the capacity. Does that mean that you have not transferred anything ever since you've been hit hard? So can we then have that explanation and understanding? We also want to appreciate the fact that out of your own budget, Citibank and West Rand, because they are not metros. Remember, Gauteng has got 3 metros and 2 secondary municipalities that don't get benefit from the USDG. So you're using 2% of your HSDG to support them with infrastructure. And I think we need to applaud you for that, because some provinces, even though that has been given by the department to say use 2% for infrastructure, buy infrastructure, they are not using that 2% of the HSDG. The fact that you have lifted it up in your report and say these two, Citibank and Westrand, we are helping them by using 2%, we really appreciate and we applaud it. Now, Tswane and Ekurhuleni, in your reports, in terms of sites and services, they are zero. Whilst you, in the report, you are applauding them, particularly Ekurhuleni, that they've done well in the last financial year, but in this report that you've given us, there's zero on those two metros. Can we get an explanation why and what is happening there? Is it that because you couldn't count them now, probably in the next quarter, they would have improved? But we need to understand, because a zero is a scary number when we talk about service delivery. So once you see two zeros in two metros. That's a problem. So if you can explain that to us. But also, I think that's my last parting shot. You, many times when you came here in this portfolio committee, one of your big challenges has been the management of the beneficiary list as Gauteng. It became a big issue, and you tried to deal with it. Can we get the comfort that now it is back on track? It is not a challenge anymore, because that question that is being raised by Honorable Stolle on deep slot speaks to that issue. You had an issue where people had to come here, we had to deal with a petition of people that said, we've been sitting on this beneficiary since 94, 96, and we have not been, we still have not allocated houses, but people that came after us are the ones that have been getting houses. So could you comfort us by actually saying it is being managed better and there is improvement on this issue of the beneficiary list? And thank you very much, HOD, for actually coming here and present a report that actually is not depressing us. Gauteng has been a source of depression to this committee for some time. We just have to put it to you bluntly. And we're not saying you are the one that became a messiah and actually changed the situation, but at least I think you came at the right time that things were starting to turn around. And then you were lucky enough, but then don't be the one that would turn it backwards. All that we are requesting you to do, it must only get better. It must not regress. MEC knows, the last time he was here, he was trying hard but today I know he doesn't have much hard work to impress on us, because at least the report is much better than it was. One of the reasons why we took a decision that you should come here in Gauteng every time, to come here in Cape Town every time the department presents its quota report, is because we wanted to monitor your progress in terms of your service delivery and your targets. And we are glad to say, I think this committee took a right decision. But I think one of the reasons, triggers, was that they knew that every quarter they are coming to Cape Town, so they have to work hard because they have to face this committee and present themselves. Because we said, National Department cannot be one that gives excuses on your behalf. Come and tell us, why are you not able to spend the money that you are given? You get the biggest slice of the national budget of human settlement. And we have to see it performing. Because once Gauteng doesn't perform, the whole department doesn't perform. That's just the reality of the situation. So I thought it's important that you know that that's why you are here, HOT. Thank you very much. If you can just respond to those questions. I think the way we're going to do it, let's allow province to respond, and then national department to respond, and then MSC will come in, and DM will come in at the end. Yeah. If that is okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, my MSC. I will start so that you mop properly. So that you mop nicely.
I can see he's matching you pound for pound.
Yeah.
HOD.
But Chairperson, I think we need to recognize the following. The MEC of Human Settlement, the acting head of the department, the DG of National, DG Mbolela, and DDG Lishabane, we amended the business plan of Gauteng on the 3rd of January, and the DG approved it a week later. The amendment was meant to unblock things that were not moving at all. That included payments of securities, that included payments of service providers, That included money that's supposed to be paid for bulk infrastructure in Savannah City, Mpumelelo, and in Kanyeli, which is Wicketlo. So those things were enabled by the amendment of the business plan on the 3rd of January 2019, which the DG approved a week later. Immediately after that, we now have a hopis and hopis of fiscal claims, because that amendment is now enabling the things. So what I'm trying to say is that we're not necessarily missing blowing our horn, but the fact remains that it was amended to unblock the blockages. And that proof, we can send it to the chairperson. Now, the management of beneficiaries, the MEC appointed advocate Ntabiseng to focus strictly on one thing, on beneficiaries. So we agreed that the business plan of the department should guide how you do the beneficiaries. Where we said 13,000 sites, the beneficiaries cannot wait. You don't register a beneficiary when it's already at the construction level. At a site level, a person must know that this is my site. It can even help us in terms of land innovation, because he will guard his own site. And then, rather than wait to the house when it's almost complete and we start now looking for beneficiaries. So the MEC has decided to say he will then, after the approval of all beneficiaries, he will consult and engage councillors, and then everybody have a list of beneficiaries that would be benefiting to the project. So there is a progress. The Chairperson Portfolio Committee in the province has already noted that progress. But key to that, Chairperson, municipalities are very critical in the beneficiary issues, but under the leadership of the MEC, because if you do not bring them on board, you are likely not be able to allocate. They'll block that allocation. And then we start now accusing each other. So MEC is Okokta at Human Settlement, so he's committed to make sure that whatever we said approved, he will play the role of consultation. Then the Swan and Ikulen 00. There's two grants. There is Human Settlement grant. Is zero in Swan, indeed. And then now, in case of Ikulen, we're now talking about the more than 8,000 sites. Those sites were saved through urban settlement development grant. So in our report, we do not report on the MULDG. And they were assisted largely by HDA, and they delivered. Now, the 158 million is already on the way to HDA. It's part of the payments that you've seen. They are in the finance for them to be transferred, so that the HDA can pay the invoices and obligations that were given to them. What the MEC did not decide on is what will happen in 2019 in terms of the new projects, so that we clear the old ones that we've given them, and then we don't have any other issues related to. And the performance of Chairperson, I think I need to clarify this. The mega projects of Gauteng are doing very well, are the one that you see them doing very well through monitored by the GPF. If you compare them with the Catholic project, which is a national program implemented by HDA, the mega projects outclass the Catholic project, and they have got the same intention: spatial restructuring, well-located economic activity. Clayville is one of them, it's Gauteng 1. Riverside is Gauteng 1. Montrose is Gauteng 1. Elijah Bay is Gauteng 1. All of them, it's just in Gauteng, we didn't use the word Catholic. But it's BMW and Mercedes-Benz. That's more or less the same, but the different names. So that is, yes. So we actually, Deputy Minister,
just before you continue, so you are using the BMW. And then the department is doing the business. Yes, it is.
HDA through department, are you doing? I don't know which one.
No, but on a serious note, so you the Gauteng is using megacities.
Yes.
And the national department is using catalytic.
Yes.
But that 50 that you have has got the megacities of Gauteng in that 50?
No.
Some, okay. Continue. Yes.
Okay. The... The military veterans, indeed, Chairperson, let's agree, it did not do well. But Gauteng has woke up from from the somewhere else and it's a light now. We are going to have a village, village in Pamburi. It's a very beautiful place. So the contractor is already, as I'm talking to you, appointed. And the contractor, I can confess to this committee, is a former a military person. I may not tell which, whether APLA, MK or whatever, but he's got that background so that it addressed that. And the Department of, as I was talking, presenting a chairperson sitting here, I see the phone number of the DG of military veterans because he wants to find out how far in terms of appointment. So they will deploy technical people from the army to be part and parcel of that because it is going to be a pilot, the whole republic. So that one we acknowledge. Let's acknowledge that the in terms of the term, all provinces did very bad, including Gauteng. So, but Gauteng says we cannot continue doing bad. Jane of 1,000 miles started with one step. So we have started with one step. Then the informal settlement. National has reinvested money starting from 2020. They are working with us. They have appointed service providers for the department of Gauteng. Not only us, but I'm talking for Gauteng. We are doing what you call a classification of informal settlement. One, those that are ready for formalization. Two, those that will have to provide interim services. Three, those that must be relocated. So already that exercise is nearing completion. But in transition, 790-something million for this year is reinforced strictly for informal settlement upgrading. But going to the next following year, the money will be in national. Everybody will have to apply for it to access it. So that is now the 2019 to 2020 is transition. So the issue of Gauteng was 7 million people in 1994. Today is more than 40 million. The largest numbers from Limpopo, followed by Mpumalanga, and even KZN bring a lot, and Eastern Cape. So we are actually the province.
Funny, Eastern Cape is the fourth.
Yes.
And I was shocked because I didn't think that Northwest is going to do
that. So we actually becoming a one city. That's why we are going into Gauteng city region. We are going to have in 2025. We'll be having more than 20-something to 30 million people in Gauteng alone. So that is why when we then focus on informal settlement plan, is to address the people. As I'm talking to you, 400 people a day come to Gauteng every day. Yes. And largely, you can think it's only Swane and what do you call Joburg or whatever. Even Westrand, actually Westrand in some cases leading. So it is your jewel. It's the seventh economy in Africa. The premier was saying yesterday. So you expect that kind of move. So what the chairperson said must go for higher density in terms of social housing is correct. So we have delivered, Chairperson, 1.1 million houses in the term, but still, every is a moving target that other provinces are actually, maybe they might not exist in future because people will leave to Gauteng. So I don't know which province, but I'm sure some of the provinces will remain the Mapungubwe in the olden days, which means there were people who lived here, but they are no longer there. So I may not know which friends are those. The inner city regeneration. The city of Johannesburg have unveiled a strategy on inner city regeneration. But our MEC works very closely with the city to say, it will be difficult to release building without us because you have to decant people. and so that you can rework on the building. So MEC interact with the executive mayor to work together on that strategy, so that we indeed implement the allow private sector to develop those properties. So in terms of rapid land release, rapid land release doesn't only refer to land; it also includes the properties that have been dilapidated, highly indebted, abandoned. Some of them the owners have left, and then they are unaccounted for. So it's part of that program. The title deeds, I still emphasize, the DG has increased our budget. We will spend more budget on registration and the proclamation of townships, so that then we can able to produce the town deed. We increase our budget to 53 million compared to 15 million last year, just on formalization of townships to make them to be registrable. And then the unpaid contracts that they stole, maybe are those people that I phone every day to say, what is that claim doing on your table? But if I can have the names, Chairperson, I think I'll be, that is all, Honorable Sol, if I can have the names, I'll be very happy. I will leave my email with you and send them with due respect, Honorable. If I can have them, then I will then follow them up. The clap spray is part of the bigger informal settlement management plan. The FLISP is going to be divided into two. There will be open market that will be run by the NHSC, which means you go to NHSC and apply, and then you get the property out there. But there will be the one that will be linked to our project. What we have done with the MEC and the collective of housing is that rapid land release should be part and parcel of FLISP. How do we want to do it? We want to use the FLISP money to acquire that then to be linked to a beneficiary. Once that stem is linked to a beneficiary, that beneficiary is bankable. It can go to any institution and borrow money. But the way we're doing, we're building the whole house and we say it's fleece. Then we let the beneficiary go to the bank and ask money for the 400,000. And then it doesn't have a security, it's in around 7,000 to 10,000. And the bank rejects the application. So how do you want to release the stem in the name of the beneficiary? When he goes to any other place for financial, because it's those gap market. If he goes to anywhere to source money, he's already secured because the stem is attached to his name. Mm-hmm. So in this case, the beneficiary is bankable. Mm-hmm. The bank will then go and evaluate. We will release the stem at input cost. Input cost, it means if we spend 10 rand on the stand, we release at 10 rand. But the bank, when they evaluate, they're going to evaluate improvement. You find that the stand was 10 rand and the bank's evaluation comes to 20 rand. Mm. So then that stand, it is now used as a security for that gap market. And the person is able to access funding. That is what Gauteng is currently already, MEC, Elijah Bahai in West Rand. They have sent me a letter that they've got 200 already to release. And then they couldn't get 1,000 from the mega projects, because it will then unlock the performance of the police. The hostel, some of the hostels are owned by the department, some are owned by the municipalities. But the MEC has commissioned the NHBRC to do a structural assessment of the hostel. We have got the report, then we just have to come with a plan. So in this case, it's not going to be what you call the CRU, it will be RDP stack up. But some of the maintenance, Honorable Stoll, you might find that the area that you're talking about, the hostel belongs to the city of Ikurleen. So in that case, the maintenance is done by the city of Ikurleen. We have got very few hostels that we have. I'm sure there are not more than 10 as a province. So, but sometimes when we do oversight, it is difficult to say which ones are for the province, which ones are for the municipality. But our MEC is both MEC of municipalities and human settlement. So I think you will handle that one. MEC, I think I have tried my weaker program, Northwest. We have got a program where we needed stock from Northwest. There was what you call Northwest Corporation, something like that. So we are already assisting those people to get their title deeds. We have got budget for that program. But those properties that have been demarcated into the Gauteng side, there is that program that we are working, and then we have signed an agreement with the Northwest on that those properties that belong to Northwest, which we have inherited. We have got such an agreement. I think, let me, Chairperson, the 48 rules of power, 48 laws of power, you don't outshine your master. So my master is here. Let me go and sit down and let you
Master, you have to make sure that you, no, no, that's fine. You have to, you have to make sure that you give us as much information as possible. If in that process you end up outshining anyone, it's not intentional. So don't take it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
As long as you give us the information. But the issue of the internship, the National Department is going to respond on that one.
We have got five.
But you can, if you also have five, respond.
Yeah, town planners, yes.
Yeah.
From UJ.
Okay, five.
Five.
You are funding them.
We are paying them.
Okay, we are paying them. All right. Thank you so much. Now we go to the National Department. Did you decide how they respond? Without taking time, but we probably the way they had presented, maybe that should be the order. Over to you, DG.
Thank you, Chair. Let's start with that item on the students that we have supported. Chair, out of, I don't know the exact number, but it's more than 400. Students that we have supported to date, it's only 49 that have not been absorbed. The majority of them have been absorbed by various private organizations and public entities. So it is the 49 that we are targeting, that we have ring-fenced. In fact, we've asked the DDG responsible for this particular program, DDG Nongo, to prepare a submission for minister's signature. It's just that it got delayed because they wanted me to write to the MEC, and protocol doesn't allow DG to write to the MEC. It's minister. We must write to the MEC because we're asking MECs to absorb this 49. Because it's a small number, we can break it down by province. For instance, the acting HOD is running a big budget. The Gauteng's capital budget, if you consider the USDG, is about 15 billion rands per annum. So we are of the view that the province and the three metros can take some of the students that we have supported through our bursary scheme. But the minister will write to the MEC and to the mayors of the entities. We delayed a little bit, but we're talking about 49. We're not talking about a big figure. The second question from you, Chair, is about the management of the emergency
grant. Maybe just before you pass that point, maybe give us time frames, DG. When do you hope that will be concluded?
Well, Chair, we think this matter should be concluded before the end of the financial year. It's not something that should take time. The letters, we've targeted to get those letters out this week. I think there's a correction that will be made. But the letters could reach the MECs this week. There was a little bit of a delay. But we're asking the MECs to absorb these individuals. They're highly qualified. And some of them have managed to get cum laudes, and they've got, they specialize in various built environment fields. So we will share with them the CVs and the qualifications of those individuals. The second question, Chair, is the emergency grant. You remember this is the first year of the implementation of this grant. All provinces and municipalities are aware about the grant. In fact, if you look at the applications that we've received, there's over subscription, if I may put it that way. We In fact, we were worried about overspending. But the process of approving the projects took a little bit longer, and I think your question is an informed question, that the turnaround time was very slow. You can't call a grant an emergency grant and take forever to approve the emergency applications. I think between ourselves and the provinces, we didn't do well in terms of managing the turnaround time. There are applications from KZN, there are applications from the Western Cape, Mpumalanga, various municipalities. Remember, the grant is divided into two components. There's a municipal emergency grant and there's a provincial emergency grant. So there are applications in the Western Cape, for instance, in two areas. KZN as well, they have applied for what they call transit camps or transitional residential areas. Chair, we had to make some changes in the next financial year with this grant because we hold the view that it should not just focus on TREs. I think it needs to cover a wide range of emergencies. It was limited in this current financial year, but the team has assured me that the DORA framework and the conditions there have been changed in the next financial year. So it will be a little bit more flexible in the next financial year. We spend a lot of time between ourselves and Treasury boxing each other, not physically, because they didn't want to budge in changing the conditions this year. So we finally agreed that the conditions will be changed next year. The tiny deeds program chair, the HOD, acting HOD of Gauteng, they're trying to explain this problem, and I really don't want to annoy you by explaining it further. But he is focusing on township proclamations. In Gauteng, the report that we got from the service provider in Gauteng is that there are about 133,000 properties that are linked to township proclamations. Township proclamation is your upstream planning matter, an upstream planning issue. Now let's assume that we get this township proclaimed within a month or two or three. But then when you get there, you realize that the beneficiary who received that house has moved on. There's nowhere to be found. Which is why you have countrywide hundreds, plus minus 100,000 titles that are not being collected right now because people have moved on. They're no longer in those houses. We do the occupancy service. You would have noticed that they have earmarked money for occupancy service. The occupancy service says, can you get a sense as to who is there? Because if you have given a house in Danun in 1999, and you didn't give a title in 1999, do you think that beneficiary is still there? That beneficiary has moved on. Now, when you do an occupancy audit, you visit the house and you do the occupancy audit, and you don't find the beneficiary, what do? You advertise and you put it on newspapers, but the beneficiaries are not forthcoming. What do? And that is why you have a sizable number of titles that are not being collected. In Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, for instance, no one told us last week, the ED there, that they have about 7,000 titles now. And this is worrying because the number is growing. The other complicator is on the dispute, because even if the title is there and you have siblings, then the question is, who amongst the siblings do you give that title? Because you can cause conflict amongst them. And they decide that they are not going to collect this title because it's going to cause conflict among them. And they know that the title is there in the municipality, but taking it is going to make them tear each other apart. So there are all of these complications, but explaining them sometimes comes across as if we're giving excuses. But it's the nature of the beast that we are dealing with. The numbers are going up. If you look at the numbers, even though the Western Cape is doing well, the biggest number of titles that have been delivered is in Gauteng. Western Cape has delivered about 66,000. Gauteng is in excess of 76,000 titles. but they've got big volumes. Even though they've delivered more titles than other provinces, they've got volumes, and because they have a bigger budget. So we think that the graph is going up. You saw Northern Cape, despite the fact that they don't have a DIS office, they didn't have a DIS office in the Northern Cape for a very long time, but the Northern Cape graph is going up as well. Other provinces, Eastern Cape, Honorable Ngadi Meng, you asked about Eastern Cape specifically. The Eastern Cape has been fiddling a lot. We need to call it as it is. I think there's been a lot of fiddling in dealing with this matter, unlike other provinces. We sat down with them. They established a structure which was chaired by the HOD, the former HOD. At a national level, we had a national steering committee. We deployed the conveyancers. We deployed the professionals. And they picked it up that they need to have not just one professional conveyancer, they need to have a team of professionals, the land surveyors, the planners, and they only appointed them about a month ago. You know, it's only a month ago that Eastern Cape has managed to get those professionals in Krisani, in Amatoli. It's only Nelson Mandela where they have not finalized the appointment of the professionals. In fact, I'm meeting the team this coming weekend to finalize Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, because that's where the volumes are. The Eastern Cape graph is going to go up as well. We've been paying a lot of attention to Eastern Cape because it's lagging behind. You can see Northwest is catching up. The numbers are moving in Northwest. They started late, but they are catching up, and the graph is going up. So it's the gearing period that took a little bit longer in most of the provinces. Western Cape and Gauteng were the first to get off the blocks, and that is why you can see the numbers are coming up, and we know the nature of the problem. Without wasting time, Chair, there were other areas, other questions. The military veterans, I think the competition right now is between Western Cape and Gauteng on the military veterans. General Ngubi and I, we did a walkabout on Sunday here in the Western Cape. They already have a village. Yes, they have a village here in Bela. In fact, we're targeting the president to, you know, to come and hand over those houses if the diary of the president permits. Because this is an integrated, if you look at the village in the Western Cape, it started in 2006. It's only coming into fruition now. But that process started in 2006. And those veterans were benefiting out of this project. They formed a steering committee as early as 2007. And some of them are beneficiaries of the Bela project. There's student housing. There is FLISP next to that particular village. There is a hospital. There is it's an integrated settlement in the true sense of the word. It's not just about military veterans. It's about student housing. It's about FLISP housing. It's about gap housing. So there is an integration there. And I would ask Chair that we may have an opportunity to go and visit that project as well. The numbers in the last quarter came from Gauteng, the big numbers. Western Cape only contributed the 50. But if you look at the entire year, we may not meet the target of 1,000, but the biggest contribution is going to come from Gauteng and the Western Cape, because those are the two provinces that have tangible targets. The other provinces are still gearing themselves up. You remember last year, Eastern Cape delivered in the previous year in Lukanji. This year, there is a slump. They are not moving fast enough. Limpopo as well, they're moving on military veterans. But Chair, without wasting much of your time, I think on military veterans, the question was specific. What is the problem? It's a wide range of problems. It's beneficiary administration. It's military veterans themselves wanting to be part of the process and not to be passive participants. For instance, they would want their own companies to be involved in the construction of houses, to be involved in the servicing of sites, and sometimes procuring for military veterans to benefit out of the process takes a little bit of time. You've seen it in Chetty, Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, that even when you have appointed the service provider and they will deliver only 33 units per annum, in. So there's a wide range of problems, and some of the problems are caused by the military veterans themselves because they are not very much organized in some areas. In other instances, it is the approval of the beneficiaries themselves. You find that somebody has benefited before. Some cases, they cut off the threshold. Remember, the administration of the policy is done by DMV. Mm. So that threshold of 125,000 rands income is also problematic because they were asking, what if my income is 145,000 and I have a bond, and in my bond I'm left with 60,000? Why is it difficult for you to settle it with the top-up of 78,000? So there are all of these problems, and we can share them with you in the administration of this particular problem. In Gauteng, we took a decision about 2 years ago. We said we know where the veterans are. We have no projects that are running right now in Gauteng. Can we just put the veterans into houses and then they can extend their own houses? But that strategy didn't work, you know, because we have more running projects in close proximity to where the beneficiaries are. But there are other challenges that make things to delay. Chair, the question of the FLISP was adequately covered by the HOD, but there was a question about splitting the program. There is what is called the project-based FLISP. That's what the CFO tried to explain. We have project-based FLISP, which is currently administered by the provinces, and the provinces will continue with that project-based FLISP. It's like provinces delivering FLISP units themselves. They're delivering houses. So it's a project-based FLISP. There is a market-based FLISP. The market-based FLISP is what is administered by the Human Settlements Development Bank. Anyone, anywhere in the country, whether we are in Matatiela or Mshabuya Lingana, you can walk to the Human Settlements Development Bank and apply for FLISP and be able to get assistance. So that's why we split the two. Remember, we didn't want to take FLISP, all of it, out of provinces. We said provinces must focus on project base. In any case, that's what provinces have been mastering for years, to deliver projects. Then the market part, which requires banks to leverage bank and finance from other financial institutions, that will be managed by the National Human Settlements Development Bank. The SHRA breakdown, you are aware, Chair, that the CCG is administered by SHRA. I guess your main concern was the skewness of the distribution of that grant. That some provinces seem to be getting more. For instance, if you look at the breakdown, Eastern Cape is doing well, and they have more projects that are running. You would expect Gauteng, Western Cape, and KZN to have more projects that are running. So that's something that we need to flag with the SHRA. They have more projects in Gauteng than anywhere else in the country, which will help us to achieve those numbers. In fact, the biggest pipeline in social housing is in Gauteng. Some of the mega catalytic projects that the HOD was talking about, they do have social housing units, and they would need funding from the CCG, which is administered by SHRA. Northern Cape, at Minmec, the MEC was given an opportunity to explain and to confirm whether they are going to spend 100% of the grant. I met with the HOD immediately after Minmec a fortnight ago, and they started finalizing their procurement processes late. They had contractors and they had stoppages, and they also appointed high-capacity contractors now in the second quarter. So they started a little bit late, but they have assured us that they will spend 100% of that of their allocation, as small as it is, but they do have big contractors who can help them to spend the money. We're following it, myself and the CFO, we're following this, and there are contractors on the ground. The question is whether those contractors will be able to turn around at speed and deliver more units, because we're left with 2 months before the end of the financial year. But all their contractors are on site. I won't mention the names, but I'm comfortable with the performance of those contractors elsewhere, because they've delivered in other provinces. But we'll follow up with the MEC. One thing that we cannot afford is to lose the grant in the Northern Cape because it's very small. So we're monitoring Northern Cape. The NASP program is now performing. You heard the acting AJOD of Gauteng. What he was explaining about the classification and the categorization of informal settlements is the work of NASP. That's what we do. So in the past, you would have recalled that NASP wasn't performing and it was pushing Program 3 down. Now NASP is picking up. What is pushing Program 3 down is the emergency grant, which started late, and the title is the restoration grant. That's what the CFO was trying to explain. Now those two grants now are pushing Program 3 down. What used to push Program 3 down is now doing well.
Okay.
But the emergency grant is likely to, you know, to change. Without wasting much of your time, I think we've covered USDG. Please note that USDG is coming out of Vote 38, which is a human settlements vote. So when we treat USDG, we treat it as part of our capital budget.
Yes.
And you would have noticed that some metropolitans are doing very well in terms of synchronizing HSDG and USDG. They do talk to each other. There are those metros that just want to do their own thing. We do have a policy in place on the administration of the USDG.
Yes.
It's important that MEC, we get to know what is submitted to National Department as the USDG performance plan, because they do submit the performance plan to us. And we don't approve it unless we are convinced that it's in line with the HSDG. And that is the job that DDG Lishabane is administering. And that's what the acting HOD was talking about earlier. Without wasting much of your time, Chair, I will leave the rest to the MEC and to the DM. Thank you very much.
You already have.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for those responses. We then go to the politician to round up. I'm giving the MSC and then followed by the DM.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, Director General, and all the colleagues. Now, I'll not really say much. I think we've covered the ground with regard to the issues that have been raised here. Other than just to probably just raise one or two, maybe three issues quickly. The first, I think, the Division of Revenue Act, and I wasn't there when we presented, but this is an area of my grievance against my department. Okay. The Division of Revenue Act says 30% should be spent on designated groups, which is the youth, women, and I always say to the HOD, young women in particular, military veterans and disabled people, because this is the issue that has created business forums. And I'm not saying business forums are all bad. They are very good business forums, but others are just a bunch of criminals that have misinterpreted this policy to suit their own, greedy activities. So it's a lumpen proletariat. If you don't explain policy to the mass, the lumpen will interpret it for you. And that's exactly what the lumpen proletariat has done with regard to the interpretation of this policy. We have, of course, intervened in Gauteng. We convened the Regional Human Settlement Summit. We are now going to be establishing corridor focused human settlement planning fora, so that all stakeholders in the development corridor, or what you call a region, can all come together under one roof post the summit to really work with the regional offices of the department. Well, not regional offices, so we must get rid of these regional offices, by the way, in the next step, because it's a duplication of functions. In metros, we'll work with metros. And ensure that everybody who is interested in human settlement plays a role and understand the budget direction and the allocations. So that's one part. Beneficiary administration, HOD has covered this, but maybe just to add to say, it is my intention, and I have said that I'm not leaving before the beneficiary administration approved, verified by HSS, which is Human Subsidy housing subsidy system by national department, and I think we've raised this issue with the DG, and I think we're generally agreed that we're going to do that and then give it to the municipalities, or to the regions rather, these regional forums, of course led by municipalities, in the district will be the district of the local municipalities, and the involvement of HODs responsible for human settlement, as well as MMCs responsible for housing, as, or for human settlement, as it were. So that we reach consensus around of the 200,000 plus subsidy approved beneficiaries in Gauteng. Where do they reside? Who are they? By name, ID, right? And the role of the regional planning forums with municipalities leading, obviously, but consulting with communities periodically, will be to allocate these beneficiaries to projected projects, or current projects and future projects. The HOD has done something very well with the team since last year when I came in. He was the DG of planning, so I think we did a lot of work on planning with the help of national department, by the way, DG, Shabani, or everybody, in fact. We have agreed that we are going to spend our efforts around this program so that we can, at the end, publish the beneficiary list. We'll publish it. So every municipality will have a book. And anyone who is waiting for the house can go to a municipality and look into the book and say, this is a book of beneficiaries. And we'll upgrade it every year. And we think that that sort of will become a statute for beneficiary administration, stabilize this thing once and for all. Of course, with the employment of IT, I think we'll also sort of basically publish it in the departmental website. And I think communication is working very hard in preparation for that. Now, this chief director that we employed on contract to stabilize the situation has been given this mandate. Talk to national department, get us the approved list, bring it into the province, allocate it to regions, let's publish it. Okay, talk to municipalities, let's agree, and then publish the list. This is going to help us address the issue of 1996, post-1996, and all the grievances that are making people very angry in beneficiary management and administration in a space of human settlement. Nationally, I think it's a national grievance. Let me just maybe round up. We have not talked about DG Destano. Now, this is something that I probably am going to leave the office with the matter unresolved. The Safcon Sano issue. And it's a massive grievance. You know, those people that borrowed money from the banks and Joe Slovo facilitated the Botswana Summit issue. I don't know, the boy, you know this. And these guys were left at the minister
on
the leash. Yes. Now, there's been toing and froing around this particular matter. And I can say you that I'm going to be very unhappy when I leave the department and this matter is not resolved. I don't know how to solve the problem. DG. I honestly don't know how to solve the problem. I see Bantokolomis has now picked it up. I think he's looking at something, fishing for something. I'm not too sure what the issue is. You may have seen it in social media. Or perhaps he has written to the... Has he written to the Zondo Commission? I think he has. On the Sano Safcon issue. And I honestly don't know, Deputy Minister, how do we actually get around this one. But we need to resolve it. But the challenge, colleagues, and I'm sure colleagues from other provinces will agree, you see, there's a danger that we're going to create a precedent where anyone who has had an agreement with the bank stops paying the bond, expect government to pay off the bond. Okay? So there's going to be a problem on that one. I don't know how to really get this one done. But I think we need to reach a stage where we close the book of Safcon Sano, and then get South Africans to chair. Please let South Africans begin to take responsibility for their lives. It can't be that people who have not kept their contractual obligations now becomes the burden of the state. when in actual fact we may have subsidized them through FLISPEM, you know, and other programs. In some cases, they've actually applied for bonds in order to extend the houses that were given to them for free. Right?
And their houses get taken in the
process. And then the house get repossessed in the process. So I'm saying that challenge that the DG was speaking about in relation to the Slums of Coney issue, and I think we need to formulate a position as the portfolio committee on exactly what we want the department to do about this issue, but it's really difficult. We're hoping in the issue of student accommodation as part of our delivery accounting, and we're basically saying that... Well, the premier yesterday says that student accommodation should be counted as part of housing delivery to the youth, because that's what really is for the community of learners, and that we need to amend policy to accommodate that as part of accounting. But I'm sure HOD may have also said this thing. You know, when we account for total units delivered, we're just looking at, and I think we are shortchanging ourselves as a nation. The decisions that is taken by the municipality to establish a new township for middle class is housing delivery. Right? Shra is housing delivery in the province. Rental housing is housing. RDP houses it is. And everything else that we are doing. And I think we're shortchanging ourselves in terms of accounting on how much is the country actually contributing for human settlement. Chair, I thought I should just raise these issues in brief. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, MEC. DM?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. the MEC is ending at a sour note. You see, this funding with Servcon and the outstanding monies, it's a recurring decimal. At one point, it needs to be dealt with once and for all, because it's not that we are short of mechanism of resolving it. It's only that we're not speaking to ourselves. At some point, we're engaging the banks in order to resolve the matter. Because if a house has been given to a person, the bank has already benefited from that house long ago. So it's a question of them understanding the dilemma that we're facing with, but also to having a balancing act of saying when people got money from the banks, don't expect government to enter in that contract, because it's an individual contract with the individual person, but only with people who are vulnerable. The people who are elderly, who have lost their pensions long ago and so forth, that is the category that we normally look at as government, the poorest of the poor. The people are vulnerable. But the able-bodied people must continue life and get themselves sorted out. So we can't do. We just check those cases where the vulnerable people are at the mercy of being in the streets. Because once they are in the street, it means the government must pay for the health conditions. They must pay more for that care of that particular person. And if that person was in his or her house, it would have been a different pair of shoes altogether. Okay, Chairperson, thank you very much for the comments that you've made at the beginning of this discussion, because they've helped to highlight exactly where the issues are. And I'm very, very happy with the kind of discussion we had here, particularly around the issue of Gauteng. Before we go to Gauteng, I just want to say, in terms of eThekwini, Chairperson, it's critical, because eThekwini is normally the best performing around the USDG. So it's the first time that we find this scenario. So we need to get to the root of the problem so that we can salvage a Tegwini municipality. I think let's allow HOD to blow his horn at the moment. Because if we speak positively about Gauteng at this point around, it means that something has happened. I do understand the intervention of National DG and your team. I do understand the intervention of GPF. But at the end of the day, the accounting officer is motivated then we move faster and we move forward in going forward. Around the issue of Gauteng in particular, human settlements stand to benefit. Because once Gauteng delivers, there's a turnaround in terms of numbers nationally. Of the department nationally. So that's what we're looking at, and it looks positive as we speak. DG, the issue of emergency housing, it leaves us vulnerable because the interpretation of that emergency housing in application is problematic from province to province, from municipality to municipality. It's something that at some point we need to have clear guidelines and a uniform approach to it so that we are able to deal with issues of that nature. And in terms of NASP, I'm very happy with now NASP being performing and confirmed by Gauteng. And I'm surprised that you come up with 104% in delivery on the informal settlement upgrading. This is a positive story to tell. One of the things that we think is human settlements going forward is to focus on this fleece in its interpretation to the layman.
Yes. Yeah.
Because now fleece chairperson is known by us and by few individuals, the people that we are gearing this fleece for. The understanding, the accessibility, there's not even a single pamphlet that speaks to the ordinary person to understand what this is all about. And now that we are ready, DG, I think we should take off with communication and formulating such a simpler understanding of this matter. I'm not going to be happy with what the Premier of Gauteng is saying for us to build houses for youth.
No students.
It's for students. We want to build houses for students, but we want funding to come from the education for that NSFAS. If that is the approach, we are happy with that. Yes, definitely, definitely. That should be an agreement, Chairperson. Please guide it. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
I'm guarding it. Well, thank you very much, DM, and thank you very much to the MEC. The officials from Gauteng and the national officials, they know they are always here. We told them they will be here and with us until the 20th. So we can't be left alone. They must sit with us. So we will really appreciate. It's been a very good engagement, and we're quite happy with Gauteng MEC, we have to say, and the acting HOD. But I still want to say thank you to the CEO of GPF. Thank you very much. We're having a meeting that we are not very stressed, you know, when we are discussing Gauteng, even though we are not saying they are out of the woods yet. Yes. So we really appreciate. Thank you very much. As I'm about to close the meeting, national officials, I'm going to a meeting where I must account for any legislation that is in front, that is outstanding. So as I'm closing the meeting, come and whisper to me. That meeting I'm going to now, I must tell I know that the one that we have, that we are almost going to conclude about, is sitting at NCOP and is going well. I'm hoping that there's no other piece of legislation. I must go there and be clear. There's no other outstanding piece of legislation. On that note, we are meeting next week, and DM, next week it's the CISOS and EAAB. It's CISOS and EAAB. We promise you we are not going to be very hard, but we are not going to be very nice. We hope for a proper report. DDG, Cindy, those are your babies. So we really want proper reports. EAAB and CISOS next week. On that note, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can we go?
Yeah. Oh.